Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Today's September 12th, 2021, just in case we re-air this at a future date and talk about things that are current and you wonder why we've gone insane. And that's important these days. You know, we should know who's gone insane and who hasn't. We should be able to identify them easily. And Bill didn't really want to do full disclosure, but, you know, I thought it was only fair, you know. So basically, I'm one of the heretics. I don't have a vaccine. Don't wear a mask. I think basically people should be left alone. And the government shouldn't run our lives because I think they kind of suck at it most of the time. And just want to be clear.
I disagree somewhat with that.
Are you faking? I'm
transvaccinated.
Yes, I was just going to say, are you transvaccinated?
I'm transvaccinated. I'm not actually vaccinated, but I identify as vaccinated. So, yeah.
Bill's working on the shirt because we saw that on a shirt. It's like, oh my God, we have to find that shirt. I know you can make shirts, so I think we might actually do that. For those of you who are like, what did he say? That was funny.
What?
I'll put the little picture of the guy with the shirt. I'll put it on today's page because, honestly, trans-vaccinated. I just thought that was super funny.
Only in California.
Maybe it was extra funny because we went to the Bay Area yesterday and people who live there want the shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
Bill,
if you go to the Bay Area, you'll be wearing a mask. And if you really want to be loved, you'll wear the full hazmat suit. And people will fawn over you
from afar.
Yeah, because you know they're very scared.
Nothing like a far fawning.
Yeah.
so Willis, who drew the short straw today and is helping us cover the cost of this program?
Well, it's not a short straw, actually. It's Pape Machinery.
No, I mean we were the short straw.
Yeah. Oh no,
the heretics.
Well,
they're heroes.
I already explained that. I'm not a heretic. I'm a trans-vaccinated. Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. And they're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard up in Shasta Lake City. And go up and see them. If you're looking for a new tractor, pick a John Deere. Because, boy, they run forever. And you can get parts, sales, and service on those pretty much anywhere you go. So go up and see him, or
that's
give him
true.
A call.
We saw him all along I-5 yesterday.
Oh yeah, there's John Deere dealers everywhere. Unlike some of the competition, and you can give him a call at 226-9226, or catch him on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah,
not bad from a heretic and a transvaccinated.
Yeah.
So far, we're cooking with Crisco. No one knows what that is anymore, so I guess I'll have to update that. Apparently, I'm old.
Yeah, it's cooking with canola, let me tell
Actually,
you.
Actually, we heard somebody say that it was as the bird flies the other day, and it's like, no, buddy, it's as the crow flies. What the heck? Yeah. These expressions have been around for a long time.
Yeah, they're all changing.
Get with the program.
We have to catch up with the times.
Funny. Yeah. So we have two Dr. Chens on today, first hour and second hour. So the first hour, we have Dr. Shizong Chen, and he, unless he changed his mind, which he obviously can do, because that would be fun too, but he was thinking that maybe we ought to talk a little bit about how the U.S. Triumphed over the Soviets, but can't figure out how to get one over on the Chinese. I'm sure all of you listening have lots of ideas about how that's taking place, Biden's, and we'll probably get into some of that, but he's been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years, founded or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China, and has spoken extensively on issues related to China. He began his activism in 1989 when he helped to organize supporting activities during the 1989 Beijing student movement, and he was outraged by the June 4th massacre. Dr. Chen founded Tiananmen Square Foundation and has served on the board of the Press Freedom Guardian and was elected vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. He has, his background is science, interestingly enough. I'm going to kind of move move toward the end. He was born in China in 1962, so he'll be turning 60 like me next year. So we'll have to have a little party for him. And at 15, he entered the gifted program at China University of Science and Technology, came to the U.S. in 1982 to study, and received his Ph.D. in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego, and he currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. We've done a bunch of shows on China, and many of those have been with Dr. Chen, and I have them at wethepeopleradio.us. If you look along the top bar, China is one of the tabs up there. If you click on that, you'll find all the shows with all the different people we've done on China for the last several years. We didn't just start doing this when the pandemic showed up. It was a little bit of a happy accident. We started on shows with China back in November of 2018. And so when all this stuff started, it's like, oh, we didn't have such a hard learning curve. Neither did our listeners. So if you're behind the eight ball on China and what they're up to, and you don't want to learn it in those one-minute snippets on that thing we call the news, please tap into those shows. We've got a lot in print. We add as much detail on the pages for the shows as we possibly can. Anything they send us, articles, PDFs, video, anything, and all the archives are free to listen to. They're just MP3 files. You can download them. You could give them to people. You can do whatever you like with them. They're not copyrighted, and we hope you share them far and wide. So, Dr. Chen, how's the world working for you today? We haven't talked to you in a little while.
Not for a while, but I want to say, how can people not love you guys? Translated. Trans heretics. Oh, my God. I cannot imagine how people not love you guys.
Oh, we're in acquired taste.
I love you guys the best. You know, once you become trans, then when you think about it, once you become trans, you can love by both sides, right?
You would think.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we saw that they chased Larry Elder around with a monkey mask. So, I mean, if you would have tried that with Barack Obama, I'm sure somebody would have been burned at the stake. But, it's not it. But, you know, honestly, some of this stuff has become so crazy. There's a video out there, I think I posted it last week, on mass psychosis. It's short, still 20-minute thing. And it really explains like phenomena and like Salem witch trials and things like that. And you look at now how people are, you know, it's the unvaccinated. They're the ones that are killing us. And I just think that's kind of funny because, like, the people with the polio vaccine don't get polio from people who have polio because that's how vaccines work. But I guess this one doesn't work like that. We're headed there again, but that video made me really happy because they said the only way to combat this was humor. I thought, oh, my God, that's fantastic. We'll never become part of the mass psychosis because we can't stop laughing at them. So,
well,
feel free to join us.
The ability to maintain a humorous mind, I think, is a true indicator of being healthy. I really think so, that under these circumstances, you can still maintain this kind of, relaxed attitude. I think it's an ability a lot of people no longer, have nowadays.
That's sad.
Yeah.
You know, you look at that and you think, yes, there's a lot of serious stuff going on in the world, and it's going to stay serious, but there are clever people everywhere. There was another meme that came out, and it was something that my brother, if he could still do stuff like that, he would have made it. It just made me laugh. It was like a play on the Top Gun, the old Top Gun movie. And it was, the Taliban guys, and they said, we want to do a flyby. And it says, negative, Ghost Rider, this pattern, or a Goat Rider, this pattern is full. And it's like, so somebody looked at the Afghanistan thing, which was, there's nothing good happening there, and kind of found a little, little humor. I think that's how you get through this stuff. While we're fixing it, hopefully. I mean, can't just screw around the whole time. But
yeah. So the reason I picked this topic is result from back in June, I watched the news that Arizona was discussing an educational bill, and a Republican state senator in Arizona, you know, dropping a line, asking the education and, you know, institution there to teach young students the danger of communism. And then some Democrats mocked that and claimed that white nationalism is the true threat of, you know, our democracy in the United States. I think in the same way that unvaccinated people are the the true threat
yeah.
to the United States, I guess, right? But there is a Vietnamese, you know, refugee now turned into Arizona senator, and he gave a speech, and I think it's very important. And I watched that. This is why I picked this topic today. He said, "Why nationalism did not drown a quarter of a million people in South China Sea? Why nationalism did not kill 86,000, you know, at the fall of Saigon?" And Senator Nguyen is his name. He said he lost most of his cousins to communism. So when I watched that, I realized, wow, how time has changed everything. That the fact that we need to teach the threat of communism nowadays, and that there are people even mock the proposal for that, I mean, that in itself is just, that caused my brain, you know, turning. And this is that topic has ever since been on my mind since then, because I realized that the threat of communism itself didn't need any education before 1990s, because at that time the threat of communism was real to every American, right? In multiple ways. First of all, the Soviet Union, and it's more than the Soviet Union, the Soviet bloc of countries, the European countries, their military power, you know, is a threat to the free world, not just to the United States, to the free world every day, number one. Number two, waves and waves of, you know, victims from communism, you know, who escaped to the free world, reminds people in the West, in the Western or in the free world, what it is like for the communism, under communism ruling. And so that the threat of the communism alert Americans and people in the world that what they'll lose. Right. And so the militant communism actually inspired people in the free world to resist communism. Because, you know, once you're overrun by communism, you have everything to lose, you have nothing to gain.
Right.
And so, and plus, those victims would serve as, you know, samples and examples of what it's like if you lose your freedom. And so once people's minds are made, where there's a will, there's a way, right? And so that was how the free world was able to triumph over the Soviet Union. And that was, at that time, was the second most powerful country or force in the world. Now, China has replaced Soviet Union.
Yeah.
As the second most powerful country in the world. The communism is the same, but the form of the communism has changed. It used to be militant communism. Now, it is a monetary, I wouldn't call it economic, but it is, originally it was a threatening communism. Now it's a seductive communism.
Yeah, that's kind of a, you know what, that's a good description of it, because they have sort of lured people in. There is a weird seduction going on. How creepy that could even be used that way, but I guess people fall for a lot of stuff. We've got to take a really quick break. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Shizong Chen. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
We're back. Okay, so when we were on our way out to the break, you had said that this latest wave was a seduction of sorts, and I think that's a really good description of it.
Yeah. So I think it's, for our audience, it's necessary to review how this seductive communism has come about. It wasn't used to be this way, right? Robbery, actually, looting.
That's true. Looting used to be bad, too.
Yeah. The looting and robbery is the easy way to get rich, right? So it has historically, it's always been that way. I mean, Hitler was that way. Stalin was that way. But at the fall of the communism, we use the term CCP here, the Chinese Communist Party was the major communist regime remaining after 1992. Right? But it's, ironically, the fall of European communism start with 1989 China student movement in Beijing, the same movement that got me involved in China politics. So as the CCP tanks rode into Tiananmen Square to crush the student movement, in Poland, the solidarity movement at the same time won their first election. And then at the end of that year, 1989, I remember watching on TV with my friend, we were actually discussing, in a meeting, we were discussing forming our overseas political party to stand up against the CCP. That was, my stand of involved in the movement at that time. And interestingly, our meeting was outside, was guarded by FBI. Anyway, so I remember in that Christmas, 1989 Christmas night, the news reported Ceausescu of Romania was overthrown and executed. And it was bittersweet. It is, you know, it's happy to see other people, other nation got free. And yet, we were also sitting there thinking, wow, why the fate has always dealt the Chinese people the shorter end of the deal. And it started out with us, you know, with Chinese student movement. And yet that movement was crushed. So at that time, we didn't anticipate things would go to where it is now. And then in the next 3 years, the defeat of communism in Europe is so thorough that not only the Chinese Communist Party lost its legitimacy in governance because of the 1989 massacre of the student movement, but also by the beginning of 1992, communism has totally, outside of China, has totally legitimized. And so Chinese Communist Party faced two crises, not only the legitimacy in government, but also the legitimacy in its ideology. So that is when what I later called generous barbarism. Right? So I hope people will remember this name. You know, to me, he's the most evil person in the whole world, in the history of the whole world. His name is Jiang Zemin. He was the head of the CCP at that time. He came to his power through bribery, through immorality, right? And so that was the only thing he knew. So then he applied that to the world, to the CCP's diplomacy. And that is the, let me put it here for now, that is the same diplomacy that Wall Street hoped China would adopt again. Right? Mm-hmm. Wall Street is pushing for that again. Right? Anyway, Jiang Zemin was the one that started to use that strategy. And he tried to tell the world that we're not a threat. Not only we're not a threat, but we're willing to share our profit with you. Right. The only condition is that you look away from what we do inside China. And that fits the Wall Street perfectly. Right? All they care is about money. Right? And Wall Street become the CCP's best friend, trying to rationalize China's the CCP's change. Basically, the morph of the communist, seductive communism. It now turned China into what Biden called competitive partner, right? Instead of threat, no longer a threat. But at that time, it was the older Bush, not the younger Bush. Bush the father, the president, right? And that was the beginning. But this communism, the Chinese communism of all communist regime, Russia included, the Chinese communism is the most barbaric, right? Many books, many data documented communism kill over 100 million in the world. The Chinese communism would account for 80 million of that 100 million. Right? So it is the most barbaric regime. But with Wall Street's window dressing, as well as the CCP's own, it's not that. It can only do this at that time. The Chinese Communism is very weak. Right? It's only thinking about surviving. Right? So it had a what is now we call the second most powerful economy at that time. It has a very meager beginning. Right? It was only looking for survival. However, it turns out seduction is more effective than threat. No government in the world has ever faced this kind of a generous barbarism. They didn't know how to deal with it. No one was able to resist that seduction. And they all started feed into that seduction, feed into the so-called China's market, right? And that helped the Chinese communism to grow till what is now the second most powerful country. And it is the whole world, particularly the United States, who fed that monster, right? The dangerous part of that seduction is that I was, you know, up to this point, okay, up to this point, we, Aaron talked about we had a head start of this program in 2018, we talk about generous barbarism. And so up to this point, what I talked, it was, we were able to see this coming. Yeah. But from this point on, you know, what happened after COVID-19 is new. This is something I didn't anticipate. And what happened after COVID-19 exposed a whole new level of failure in the whole world, not just the Chinese communism, but also the United States. But let me talk about the Chinese government as a failed government. We talked about this in one of our previous programs, but let me use an example. Last year, there was this flood along the Yangtze River, the largest river in China. It was at such a danger that even the largest dam in China, the Yangtze River Dam, was at risk. And so they had to do some, the flood. They have to open some floodgates somewhere, right, along, you know, in different parts in China. Right? And that caused some outcry. But they learned from the failure in the bad way, right? When we talk about learning from failure, usually it's meaning you gain something positive. But in this case, they gain something negative. Right? So they learned, oh, that works. Right?
Yeah.
Because in China, those officials, they only care about their own so-called achievement. Right? So any disaster, anything would look bad on their failure, would look bad on their resume. So this year in the city of Henan, a province, there was a storm. It is one of the largest storm, but they opened the floodgate of several dams without without informing the public. And it caused a flood in Zhengzhou City, the capital city of the Henan province, not informing the people. So a tunnel as well as a subway was flooded. Unknown number was killed because the failure of the government to inform people. Now, the reason they do that is because it's easier to cover up the failure by lies. And then enforcing the lies by violence. It's easier to do that way than admit to the failure. And this is exactly what they used in the COVID-19. Everybody knows where COVID-19 came from. Right? But not in China.
Oh, really?
Chinese people, large number of Chinese people, believe COVID-19 originated from the United States, actually.
Wow. So, they have such tight control over the information that they really don't actually get is it that hard to get the information, or is it that it's just easier if you don't know and you just kind of follow the drill?
It's two things. It's a combination of two things. For people who easily follow lies, words. But there are other people who are not so easy. And so the people who believe in their lies are their base, right? And the people who do not believe in that becomes their enemy.
Yeah, and there's a high price to pay for being on the enemy's list.
Their enemy. And that's why I say it's easier to control the society that way. Now, the important thing is that in this country, we're learning that. Yeah. We'll talk about that part. So this is how that government has learned from failure and make itself a more failed government. This is a vicious cycle, and it's a new cycle that humanity hasn't figured out.
And in a weird way, here that's being promoted. I mean, they're not saying, hey, let's do it just like China, but they are kind of following that same path. And for whatever reason, people seem not to be seeing it. I mean, you look at the contact tracing and all the different things that would lead up to ratting out your neighbors. And, you know, now the employers are supposed to be checking, and whether or not that all actually materializes is another matter. But the idea that here in this country, we would be promoting things like that, that you have to get yourself involved in everyone else's medical thing. If you've already had a vaccine, I mean, move on. We don't run around and tattle on people who've got the measles or chicken pox or...
No, but there's so many people are
like
going
that.
Along with it.
That's what I mean. Yeah. People are actually thinking that it's okay. I mean, Salem witch trials, anyone? We'll be right back, though, with our guest, Dr. Chen. And we have him until the top of the hour. So this little ditty from Ray Stevens, we thought we'd better play just in case everybody was thinking that, you know, lockdown seemed like a good solution. This would harken back to last year and might remind you of how not awesome it was and how you might want to stand up against that. But we're going to do that through Ray Stevens, who's funny. So, of course, you know, we don't want to just tell you that. Don't take our word for it. Take Ray Stevens' word for it. You can find us at We
the People. Because he knows.
Because he totally knows. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
I wash my hands. I don't touch my face. I stay at home. Shelter in place. Social distance. Don't go to work. I'll wear a mask and gloves. Stay away from church. 6 feet apart. That is the rule. And I pray for the day the kids can go back to school. I'm washing my hands like a raccoon with OCD. I've watched Hulu, Roku, Netflix, PBS, and the BBC. I've taken down all my mirrors, and I'm sick of what I see. 2 more weeks of quarantine will be the death of me.
I guarantee you they're not playing that song in Australia.
No. Find no humor in Australia.
Since they mostly signed up for that forever. So just in case you forgot how great last year was and how they'd like to do that to us again, you should listen to the whole Ray Stevens song and just, you know, remind yourself of how not great that was.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it didn't actually help from the looks of it. So
no, didn't do anything.
That just throws another log on the fire. So, Dr. Chen, sorry, we have an abbreviated visit with you today, but I think your point is really, really well taken, that this – tell me this. You live in a different end of the state than we do. You live in a bigger city. Mm-hmm. You think people really are that enamored by the idea of communism?
Unfortunately, it's not called a communism, but in essence, it has so many communism elements hidden in them. I remember we did a program at that time. It was not as well as I am now. I remember January 8th, we did one program. There I had a hunch. I said, this country is about entering into two separate universes. A parallel universe, has values that are the opposite. At that time, I just had that hunch. But I have evolved since then. I mean, many things I'm talking now, it's new to me. I mean, the things we talk about pre-election, at least pre-pandemic, I mean, before 20, those were things I have known as accumulated throughout the years. But many things since then, particularly when I'm speaking now, are new. That I just learned in the past few months, as close as reason as that. The election stunned me. I never imagined this country would let's say downgrade to this point. And so at that time, I said, this country is about to split into two parallel universes. There's nothing, we cannot even have common ground to discuss things between the two parallel worlds. And now I realize shamelessness is the prerequisite of immorality. And that is common to the failure of current governments, current society in the United States, that people are becoming shameless. Right? They, as I said, I just realized that cover things up with lies, and then reinforce those lies with authority in this country, with violence in China, is a cheaper way of controlling the society than what this country used to. Democracy you know, a government of by consent, right? And we're going that way. So that is common, and that is a. And I, while President Trump was in office, I have written letters to him. I don't know whether he got this letter, but I expressed my views to him that the Chinese government was a failed government. And
there's something kind of scratchy on your phone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're losing you a little bit. It was so good there for
a
while.
Is it better now?
Oh, that's much better.
There. The scratchiness was overtaking you.
Okay. Yeah. So while President Trump was still in office, I used to write him letters. I don't know whether he got those letters. But I warned him that the Chinese government is a failed government. And with my understanding at that time that the government is not functioning. And I haven't figured out the government can function by negative ways. I know a little bit about how the communist government would function by negative ways, but I didn't learn a democratic government can function this way. We don't have to look further than the most recent Afghanistan failure.
Yeah.
And what is the best way to handle that failure? Not report it. And, or cover up by lies. And then enforce those lies by authority. And so what startled me was I thought after the COVID-19, this country would wake up. Right? But no, it didn't. I wonder if you watched a hearing by several scientists in the Congress, and even scientists have turned into politicians, that scientists, top scientists, knew that mask, vaccine, all those, it doesn't work, right? But because they think to tell the truth, to let the public know about the scientific truth, would be helping President Trump. So they did not speak of scientific truth. So that came out from the hearing. And so this country, this society, has entered into, a shamelessness state. As I say, shamelessness is a prerequisite of immorality, and we are heading towards that. So I think I'm sure what I say is very rude to people in this country. I'm afraid this country is also failing. At least government is failing. But before I go there, I want
to... Uh-oh. That got very quiet.
He wanted something.
Before I go there? And it was like, he's gone.
Yeah.
Better try calling him back.
CCP got him.
He's still on there. No. Because we can't hear him. Try him back again. It shows he's still on there, but something happened. I'm sure that the... Oh! Hold on. I hear sounds of a struggle. Dr. Chen, are you in there?
No.
Struggle's ongoing. I do think he's right, though.
Oh, absolutely.
That idea of shamelessness. It's true, too. You look at some of the things that, well, I mean, geez, I was just walking the dog yesterday. I mean, that was a classic case.
Yeah.
You know, cat runs out, the dog's kind of go crazy. And the guy tells me I'm lacking decorum because I was trying to teach my dogs to sit down and not chase his cat. But I was near his front door. I was on the sidewalk, public sidewalk, but he came out and wagged his finger at me and told me I had no decorum. And I thought, you're mental.
He's talking about cat decorum. That's totally different.
I just thought that was so weird. I thought, what the hell is wrong with you? And at the vet, I had a guy back out, try to rip my mirror off. It's like, all right, people, gone insane. Dr. Chen, you're back?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry.
That's all right.
Somehow my line got dropped. So, you know, this country, right, we used to attribute our success to our democracy, right? To a large extent, it was true, right? But then when I think about the history of this country, no democracy will enable a government or a nation to do something like the Amistad, where this country defend a ship of strangers. We didn't even know where they came from, right? And the nation risk its greatest national interest, its alliance with mighty Spain, to defend a few strangers where we didn't even know where they came from. And then this country would engage in a civil war for the freedom of slaves. So those are not necessarily, nowadays I don't think they are the direct result of democracy. Rather, they're the result of morality. So this country, I believe we succeeded by its morality.
Yeah, I think that's now, a really valid distinction. I don't think it was our form of government. It was our mindset.
Right. Our value, our standard. And we're failing that standard. And as a result of communism, of the destruction of value. And so I think this country is failing God's interest and assignment. This country is supposed to defend righteous or people's belief in God. And now we are working with the anti-theist Chinese communist regime. And that is the biggest failure of this country.
I think
and
so,
that's
too.
That's why we cannot cope with it.
Nope. We have run out of time, but we will come back with you and we will talk on a different day. Dr. Shizhan Chen has been our guest this first hour. Dr. Wen Chen is coming on next hour, and we'll be right back with you listening to We the People. And you can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay. We got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back, though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good. Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer.
That was pretty good. You did that all in one breath.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I can continue.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Listen, anything John Deere, go up and see them. Anything steel, they have a really good variety of steel products, chainsaws, weed whackers, trimmers, hedgers, you name it, they got it in stock. Go up and see them. Also, Honda generators. They still have a few left. And I don't know if you know this, but
what?
Honda generators are getting hard to get in California because...
Could it be the power outages?
No.
Fire?
Actually, no.
What?
It's emission controls.
Oh, of course it is, yeah. Because we're changing they the weather in the world right. by doing things in California.
And they haven't figured out how to make an electric generator.
I thought that was going to run on unicorn poop.
No. Yeah, maybe it will. Maybe it will. But they haven't figured out how to make a generator create electricity off electricity.
Oh, yeah. Tedious.
Yeah, it's a problem. But we're in California. We'll figure it out. Anyway, go up and see them. They're located.
We'll just tell everybody we didn't lie about it.
Yeah, we'll just tell them it's on when they don't hear any noise. Yep. It's really on.
Yeah, your air conditioner's blowing. Don't.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that you're sweating, don't let that get in.
Yeah, come on. You're a hater. Yeah. Their phone number is 226-9226, and they're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Go up and see them or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Huh.
That was hard.
That was a lot. I try to make it as hard as possible,
you do.
Actually.
You're
it's really hard. 52,
your help is really appreciated.
52 times a year, I've got to come up with some different sort of a, you know.
Yeah, derailment plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they work.
I'm like those spike strips that they use when people are trying to escape the police.
So your job is to give me a flat tire That's every right. time I do our promotion. Yeah.
I throw down the spike strip.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, my God. Well, first hour, we talked about how Bill is trans-vaccinated. He's not actually right. vaccinated, but...
I identify as a vaccinated person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just in case you'd like to see what that would look like on a shirt that is not being worn by Bill, by the way, I did put a little passive note on there that says, this is not Bill, by the way. That is on the page for today, September 12th, 2021. And our guest... this hour is Dr. Wen Chen. She was born in China at the end of the Great Cultural Revolution and being victims of the horrific atrocity that killed 2 million intellectuals and destroyed traditional Chinese culture. Her parents had mixed feelings about her education. Despite their discouragement, Wen eventually, so I guess the folks weren't into it, but she eventually won a national prize at a science competition when she was 16. Hence, she was accepted into a top university for undergraduate study. In 1994, she came to the U.S. for graduate school and received a doctorate in biology at California Institute of Technology in 2000. Because of her personal experience of being brainwashed in China, she decided to become a voice for the voiceless. And since 2012, she's given over 200 presentations to community organizations about Chinese culture, history, and human rights. She has been working for Caltech since 2000 as a scientific curator on genomics and biological knowledge. Part of her everyday work is to speak to scientific conferences and seminars in universities like UC San Diego and Harvard Medical School. In her personal life, she is an active member of Amnesty International chapter in Pasadena and a board member for Caltech Women in Biology and Biological Engineering. She has a special event host for Caltech Alumni Association. She lives in Pasadena with her husband and two teenage daughters. And I'm going to let her... Give you a little 411
on
a
coming to speak.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we'd like to promote that for those of you who are listening locally in the Reading area. Dr. Chen, do you have a date on that? Because I did not write that down.
Yeah, I'm going to visit Reading on October 20th. I'm going to give a talk at a Kettleman's restaurant in Reading. You can probably find the information.
Yeah, that'll be at. I would get there at 11:30. So I wasn't sure of the date. So October 12th, Cattleman's Restaurant, that would be...
No, October 20th.
I mean October 20th, sorry.
Yeah, it's Wednesday, October 20th.
And that's the Republican Women's Meeting. But you don't have to be a girl to go.
Mm-mm.
You can always, our phone numbers and stuff are online, but I will put that on the show today. I'll add that to today's program. I just didn't know, if you wanted me to promote that or not, so I thought I'd better check.
It's great to have more people talking to me in person, right?
You can
exactly.
Ask
me more questions.
I'm really looking forward to actually meeting you because we've spoken with you a few times on the radio.
Yes, I'm so glad to be back.
I know. I thought it's been far too long. So we had emailed back and forth about topics, not that I mind being surprised, but you had said we had labeled it here, Chinese Communist Party infiltration into the U.S. It's like, wow. Not sure we can cover that handily in an hour, but Yeah, and you, I mean, I would imagine from your perspective, this has to be really super scary to watch what's happening in this country. I mean, it's scary for me, and I've never lived in China.
Yeah, I'm just looking, like, you know, just an hour ago, I'm just looking at the Facebook's most liked news pages, and you may be surprised to find out that the four most liked pages, news pages on Facebook, are all Chinese state-run media. Number one is China, Chinese Global TV Network, has 140 million likes. And like, it's, you know, think about it, it's more than any mainstream media, more than BBC News.
Yeah.
And you know, Facebook is actually blocked in China. And how come they have so many likes? Because Facebook has been accepting money from the Chinese government to promote these news pages.
And do you think those numbers are real, or do you think they're pumped up?
I definitely feel like because the advertisement everywhere, I feel definitely that they do have many likes, but it's possible, like, you know, they have some fake likes.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Facebook is actively promoting
right. These
news, that is the fact.
That's
how many people like them? I don't know. But like, definitely Facebook is promoting their news websites, and that's just a piece of it's just part of it. Actually, the Chinese government has been paying over 30 mainstream media. We are talking about the print media. Over 30 mainstream media all over the world to run their advertisement. That include New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, and Los Angeles Times is also part of it. And last year, on April 29th, 2020, on that particular date, Los Angeles Times had 38 pages, and 11 pages of them were called International Daily. That's paid ad by the Chinese government. But all the contents came from China. They're all articles. The layout just look like the rest of the LA Times, and all the contents were from China. They highly praise how wonderful the Chinese government was in dealing with the pandemic and how great the Communist Party was in taking care of its people.
Mm-hmm.
And when people read this issue of LA Times, they say, oh, LA Times said China is doing a much better job than the U.S., and the Communist Party is much more efficient as a system in dealing with the pandemic, because LA Times said so. Because very few people can find the very tiny fonts there say this is advertisement. But we are seeing like this over a decade, like because the United States labeled six major Chinese media outlets as a foreign mission, and then they have to disclose their financial situation. So we can find this public available document from Department of Justice about how much advertisement they bought in the U.S. And I look at the document published last April, and I was surprised to find out, like, if you add the number together, okay, Wall Street Journal got about $6 million from China to carry their advertisement. We're talking about articles paid by China. And New York Times got about $4.6 million. And after this document were publicized by Department of Justice, New York Times removed several hundred articles from their website. And so when we read mainstream media, when we read Wall Street Journal, when we read Washington Post, we say, oh, these are like independent media. But most of the Americans do not realize they have been reading propaganda from China for decades without realizing, they're reading this propaganda.
Yes.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people are figuring out that the, you know, what we would consider, you know, we used to consider the American media is doing a terrific job of parroting the Chinese media. I don't know if they're getting that from China, or they're just starting to sound like them.
The infiltration has been very deep because oftentimes these media, they would have a little bit of criticism on some small matters, but on big topics like forced organ harvesting towards Falun Gong and the Uyghurs,
yep. They
would remain silent. And when I say like there's a deep influence, because it did not start from 10 years ago. It has been, the Chinese government have been doing this for decades, and starting from the education system in the United States, they have been actively inviting educators in the U.S. to go to China You know, usually these are invited trips to give a lecture in a top university in China in high school. But everything in the trip was arranged ahead of time. Usually they will get a red carpet treatment, and when they give lecture, the students in the classroom were all chosen ahead of time. Every question they asked were practiced ahead of time. Yeah. And these professors, these school teachers would come back with a very positive impression towards the Communist Party. They would tell their American students, say, the Communist Party got 100% support from their people because everyone they met in China highly praised the Chinese government because they never walked out of the comfort zone and they were not allowed to go anywhere else either. But these professors, like in the education system in the U.S., they have been training our next generation educators and our journalists, and usually after they graduated from high school, from college, they all have a very, very positive impression towards the Communist Party. For example, my daughters, they both go to a public school in Pasadena, and they never learned anything about the persecution that the communism did to its people. And the school did not teach anything about that. And at the same time, because they take AP classes, and the College Board actually outsourced AP Chinese to the Chinese government. They get textbooks from China. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they would hire Chinese Mandarin teacher from China. For example, my daughter's Mandarin teacher told their students that the Tiananmen massacre was a rumor. And that was what she taught their students. But this is just like it's just an ordinary public school in Pasadena. We can imagine, like, in the whole United States, how many high schools there are and how many colleges there are, how many people are taking AP Chinese. But all of these were outsourced to Chinese government. They get all the textbooks and get the teachers there. And not to mention the Confucius Institute. That's a Chinese language program in over 100 universities in the U.S., including UCLA and Stanford. And so when we send our children to these universities, they learn Mandarin. They learn Chinese history from these universities' Confucius Institute. But this Confucius Institute, they are 100% sponsored by the Chinese government. They teach the Chinese Communist Party's version of history. For example, they would say Korean Wars, Americans started the Korean War because they wanted to invade North Korea and then invade China. And these are actually programs on the website of the Confucius Institute. So like our American college students, they also got brainwashed in the whole education system in the U.S. And the United States just started to take actions against Confucius Institute by labeling it as a foreign mission. And we stopped to give them federal funding. For example, like Stanford has Confucius Institute. So Stanford can no longer apply for federal funding to support their Mandarin education. And that was very effective. About 60% of Confucius Institute shut down in the U.S. But we still seeing, like, you know, whether the rest will close. We're still closely watching the attitude of the current administration towards Confucius Institute.
And there's no vetting that really goes on when they offer these courses. So they get whatever the Chinese want to teach then. Is that correct?
Well, and they,
yes.
Yeah, yes. And they think
they outsourced everything to China because usually, like those university administration, you know, they want the money from China. They want the money, like they want more money to come mm-hmm. into the university. And of course, professors, they know what's going on. So actually, professors were against it. Like in 2014, the University Association of U.S. Professors, they published a statement urging all universities in the U.S. to shut down their Confucius Institute. But we're talking about money. Like every university, they want more money. Whoever can donate more money, they would go for it. Unless our government, give them a warning, say if you continue to receive Chinese government's money to feed propaganda to our students, we're going to stop your funding. And so that is very important, how the U.S. government, how our funding agents, like, deal with this issue.
That's
why
I mean,
the U.S. policy is critical here.
That is just, I mean, this is just like little kids. I mean, you tell little kids, you know, if anybody offers you candy, don't get in the car with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if you apply that same thought to our media, I mean, the media, these big
That's
newspapers,
true. They're driving the car.
Oh, sure, they want money from China, so they're gonna print whatever China says print, and they'll get their money.
Which is terrifying when you look at how. I mean, honestly, just un-American.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not non-biased news anymore at this point. It's 100% propaganda. Yeah.
We've got to come right back. We have to take a really swift break. That happened quickly. We'll be back with our guest, Dr. Wen Chen. You are listening to We the People, and I have posted Dr. Chen's speaking engagement here in Reading on October 20th. It is on the page for today at wethepeopleradio.us. We should sit out in front of the Confucius Institute and just play that song over and over and over again and turn it up really loud at the part about the loaded guns in your face. Dr. Chen, I don't even know how I want to ask this. How is it that you think people are just completely ignoring the fact that that the people in China are controlled really with insane amounts of surveillance and fear and the threat of having their organs taken out involuntarily and donated to other people? How is it that all that just eludes people who would promote things like the Confucius Institute? Is it just money?
I definitely believe money played a very big role there. Like, there are actually not that many people, promoting it, but those who are like people at a critical position, like they can decide whether the school district want to get Confucius Institute, because they have the power, and if they have the business tie with China, they have personal interest in that. They can bring Confucius Institute into their local school district, and also the same thing tied like to this mainstream media, right? Like they say, oh, we can get so much money from China, then let's just run advertise for them. But here, I think in Southern California, Hacienda High successfully removed the Confucius classroom in their high school because of the local people protested. Actually, that started from local Chinese. They organized protests in the school district, and eventually they abandoned the idea of running Confucius classroom in their high school system. And I would say, for media, okay, so we cannot tell New York Times, like, we don't like you, like, running advertisements for China. We cannot tell anything LA Times. The only thing we can do is that we stop reading their newspaper. And we also need to support independent media, and I highly recommend the Epoch Times.
Yes.
The Epoch Times originally started as a Chinese language media in 2000. And later on, in 2004, they started the English version, and now it is ranked as the fourth largest media in the United States. And their English version has been very popular, and you can subscribe. And also they have other languages like Spanish. I remember last time I read it was like 20, 21 languages. So, you see, like, we still have the market, right? After all, like, we as readers, we can choose which media we read, which media we want to support. So that is something I highly recommend Americans. That's something everyone can do. We can all choose to read independent media, and we can all tell our public library, say, we want you to subscribe to the Epoch Times so that everyone in the city, in the town, can read independent media. They can choose what to read instead of, like, only offer them Wall Street Journal and New York Times. So this is something, like, every individual can take action on.
I think so, too. We promote the Epoch Times all the time, and I've said this many times, but if you go to the China page on our website at wethepeopleradio.us, if you go to the China page, there is a link there and information about the Epoch Times. They send you one physical newspaper per week. Usually, I mean, ours comes on Friday. I don't know when it usually shows up for everyone, but it's a big paper. I mean, it's kind of like how the newspaper used to be. Covers world events, does a very good job. The writing is excellent, but the thing about the writing is it's not a conservative publication. It's not you're not reading it from a perspective. You're reading news, and it's funny when I read it, I think, oh my gosh, that's what the newspaper used to look mm-hmm. like.
Yep, exactly.
And I used to give the hard copy to my mom in the Bay Area, where they're Contra Costa Times is complete propaganda, and she would read it and didn't say, well, this is all just very slanted. She said, oh, the writing in this is excellent. I learned so much. She always learned a lot from that. And I thought, isn't that an interesting tell? It's cheap, too. I think it's 30, do you know, Dr. Chen, is it like 35 bucks a month or something? The Epoch
yeah.
Times?
And
the,
and, will not
and you have,
read.
Yeah, and you have online access read. All the time. They're constantly putting out stories.
Yeah, and also I want to mention that the Epoch Times published a series of books summarizing very good contents about the history of Communist Party, and I would highly recommend the book How the Communist Party is Infiltrating to the United States in the Past 100 Years, and that is a very good book published by the Epoch Times, and you can find that on the Epoch Times website, and you can also it's free to read online, but it's a thick book. And so, like, you can buy it from epochshop.com, epochshop, E-P-O-C-H, shop, S-H-O-P.com. You can buy the book. It's a very good reading. I really hope, like, that can become a textbook in our high school and college so that all American kids can learn the history of Communist Party and how they infiltrated into the Western society and gradually changed the way Americans think. So that is very important. We have to know what they have done to us to go back to our true tradition.
I think so, too. And, you know, the other thing that is listed also on that China tab, I just was looking at, right underneath the link to the Epoch Times, are the 45 goals from the Naked Communist. And when you look at that list of things, if you were going to do it as a checkoff list, it's pretty scary.
Yeah.
The amount of it that they've gotten done.
Yeah, they're staying right to the plan, and they go for the long plan. I mean, they got lots of time, and they've just checked them off.
Well, and what was this? One. This was done in 1958. And you look at a lot of the things. It's scary. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit
yes.
the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which just does
yes.
not need a religious crutch. Oh my gosh, that
yeah.
could have been written
last
week.
They destroy religion from like inside. Like, you know, they alter the definition and then they that's exactly what they're doing in China. They're doing the same thing in the United States. And the book is called How the Specter of Communism is Ruling Our World. And you can also publish that on your website. And,
I will.
One thing I want to mention is that because I know your audience know a lot about this already, so I especially want to emphasize that it's very important for us to take action. And of course, like, you should vote, you should tell your elected officials, but as individual, there are actions that everyone can take, including like you support the Epoch Times, and also don't forget our children, the grandchildren. And I have raising two teenage daughters, and I realized how bad the education they are getting from public schools. So it is very, very important to tell this to our family members and raise them and encourage them to do research papers at a school, to write about these topics. Because oftentimes the facts are there, but nobody read them. So my daughter in high school, like my older one, she's 18 now, and her high school graduation thesis was a topic about the forced organ harvesting in China. So because she can read Mandarin, she actually digged out many books in Mandarin. She searched online. We also bought some references for her, and she read about the history about the forced organ harvesting. Actually started from the 1970s. They were already like killing like innocent young Chinese to get organs from them, but then it excavated to Falun Gong and then to Uyghur. But all this history, like, you know, when she did the research, she presented them to her school teacher, to her classmates, everyone was shocked. So that is very, very important. And this is some action that every individual can do, every family. Like our children in school, they need to write a research paper. They need to do homework. They can choose whatever topic they want to choose. And we can encourage them to write about something like that. And then they would learn about it. And their friends, their classmates, their teachers, the school will learn about it. So more or less, like the whole education system, people were brainwashed in some way about how the communism in China runs and about how the communism in the United States has, you know, has been infiltrating the United States.
I think that's just a really, really important point, because a lot of times we've kind of gotten to that point where, you know, you expect your members of Congress or, you know, your elected officials to fix all these things, but there are a lot more of us than there are of them.
Yeah, and you can't depend on them to fix the problem. We have to fix the problem. And, you know, I was watching a program, I think it was last week, where they interviewed some college students about America, and I would say 90% of them all basically said the same thing, that America is not the greatest country on earth, that we shouldn't promote ourselves as being great, that there are better places in the world. And I was really shocked that there were so many college-level kids that believe that. But, again, this goes back to what they're teaching in these classes in college. And the sad part is they're going to get out of college with those beliefs, and they're going to vote. And that's frightening.
They're also going to go have kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrifying.
Mm-hmm. So how do you fight that on a college level? How do you get an alternate view into these colleges to basically offset what they're doing to these kids?
I would say that is very difficult, and I'm still looking.
Yeah.
I'm still exploring. Like, you know, I would say my daughter did a much better job than I can do, because after all, as a student, there's a lot more she can do than a parent. Because usually in universities or high school, they would respect the voice of students.
Right.
As a student, she can influence many more people, like, right? Because her peers, like, you know, mm-hmm. her teacher. And I think there's still hope. But it takes a lot of work, because as a parent, we care for them. We have to make sure, like, we always support them and we are also their role model. And we have to make sure we do well in family and at work, and so that they respect us. We can keep the family together, right? You know, all of this takes effort. But yeah. I believe, like, this effort, that definitely will pay back.
Right, right.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. I think that's what was the reception that your daughter got for her effort there? Did the teachers give her a hard time? I know that sometimes it's happening in our schools.
Well, because she chose a very good topic. She chose a topic about human rights in China. And that is something like nobody dare to say, oh, you know, human rights in China is great. Like, you know, all they can do is like they ignore the topic, right? But she, because in her high school, that was a public school, and among like the 400 students who graduated this summer, only two students chose to do the high school thesis. It was optional, and my daughter was one of them. And her research article was very well done. Like even some of my like university professor friends said it was a very good, well done research. And she actually got a scholarship because of that.
Wow.
Yeah. And she actually, also got a very good college, admission, and she's coming to Caltech this fall as an undergraduate. And so she did very well. So, and you know, and I say like, you know, all of these added together, because not only we want our kids to write on these topics during this period of time, like when they do the research, we also teach them how to do research. And when they are able to do research, when they're able to do their schoolwork, and they get respect from their teachers and the peers. So that is very, very encouraging. So I remember like when she had this thesis defense, quoted thesis defense, because that's high school. And she can choose which teachers to invite to attend her the event. I said, you must invite your Mandarin teacher, because she told all students that Tiananmen massacre was a rumor. You must invite
her. Oh, my
her.
Gosh.
So important.
Yeah.
So she invited the teacher, and the teacher came, and basically she was speechless. And she only asked one question, say, what did you do to get the offer from Caltech? And so, like, you know, what's interesting, like, you know, it was probably a quite shocking experience for her to see all this evidence that she cannot deny, because many of these evidence came from the official publication from China, right? How they harvest the organs of prisoner of conscience. Like, these were all, like, from Chinese media, and of course they took them offline, but we can find the archives. So she cannot deny the facts of the human rights abuses, these atrocities. And she was just shocked. And she was also surprised that this student, like my daughter actually, you know, was a good student, and she did so well in high school.
And was able to dig up the actual truth.
So the teacher was actually teaching Chinese propaganda?
Yeah.
Bottom line.
And the student is trying to spread the truth.
Huh.
Isn't that cool?
And do you think the teacher actually believed that, or do you think she was? That's just what she was kind of paid to teach the party line.
I believe that she believed that.
Oh, she did.
Because I went through the same kind of propaganda as she did, and I remember like when I first came to the United States, and I came in 1994, right? And 1 year after that, my American friends asked me about the Tiananmen massacre. It was in May 1995. And I firmly replied that it did not happen. I said students killed soldiers. And I truly believe that, because we all came from China, and when the Tiananmen massacre happened, in all state-run media, we saw dead bodies of soldiers. So we were told that students killed the soldiers, and we believed that.
Mm.
Everyone believed that. And if you ask students from China now, if you show them the tankman picture, most of them will say, who is this guy? Where did this come from? Did Hollywood make that? And, you know, this is still the truth. Like, you know, most of the Chinese are still very, very brainwashed. And when we talk about, like, you know, Mandarin teachers we recruit from China, right, they would come, most of them would come brainwashed on many of these subjects about the Chinese history. And more or less they would feed this.
Well, that's a terrific time saver. Let's bring them already brainwashed. We don't have to do the job.
I can only imagine the shock
when you
actually learning
out.
It from one of your own students, that what you've been teaching is propaganda.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
we have to take a really quick break. Let that sink in for 5 seconds. We'll be right back with our guest, Dr. Wen Chen. And if you have just joined us or have not been paying attention, today is September the 12th, 2021, and Dr. Chen will be speaking in Reading October 20th, 2021 at 11:30 at Cattleman's. It's a Reading Republican Women's Meeting, and that is on the website for today. at wethepeopleradio.us.
That was just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight.
I guess you could just go on and say liar like 8,000 times. But Dr. Chen, you know, we were talking during the break, Bill and I.
Yeah.
How bizarre is it to realize that, you know, what you learned about the world turned out to be completely upside down?
And what you've been teaching. Is that teacher, do you think that Mandarin teacher is still teaching the propaganda? Or do you think that was enough to open her eyes to the truth?
Well, she's a Mandarin teacher. She did not teach history, fortunately. And so, like, you know, that what it was she told her students, like, mm-hmm. during the classroom break. But I feel like she truly believed, you know, that, you know, Tiananmen Massacre was a rumor. And she no longer teaches at the high school now. She changed her job later. But, I mean, I feel very important for us to awake these Chinese.
Sure.
And, you know, that is very important because after they come to the United States, all Chinese come to the United States, they can choose whether they want to stay in the original bubble or come out of the comfort zone. So, like, I'm so grateful that my American colleagues told me about the Tiananmen Massacre. It was a very difficult process. You know, I broke into tears. I didn't believe that. I argued with them. I just saw, like, they were insulting me. They were insulting my government. It took me months to accept, okay, I was brainwashed. But, you know, that was so important. I would say that like, that's the biggest moment in my life, like, away from this propaganda. And so, like, how many of you, like, you know Chinese people, right? You may have Chinese neighbors. You may have students, Chinese students. You may have Chinese employees. And, you know, you may know some owners of Chinese restaurant. And you can always approach them and ask them about the Tiananmen Massacre, about the forced organ harvesting in China. Ask them what they think about it. And you may be surprised by their answers. You may realize, okay, they are brainwashed. And it's very important for you to tell them. Because, you know the mentality of Chinese from communist China? They do not trust other Chinese. Because in communist China, all of us were encouraged to report each other to the authority.
Right.
If they say something wrong, right?
That's true.
So they do not trust their fellow Chinese, but they trust Westerners. If you tell them the truth, they would believe it. They would be there, this is my American neighbor. You know, she will not lie to me, and she probably is telling me the truth.
I would think they would think we were the liars.
Oh,
it may take multiple tries, and you may get a very strong response. They may feel offended, but don't stop there. It's so important for you to do this because, you know, if you can awake them from propaganda, you will also prevent them from spreading these lies to other people in America.
Sure.
Like, for
sure.
example, I remember in 2004 or so, like, you know, that was when many, like, the Wall Street, they start to invest in China, when they start to do business in China. And many Falun Gong practitioners, they went to New York, and they tried to organize, like, demos on street, tell, like, all these, like, elite people in Wall Street about the human rights abuses in China. And many of people say, oh, my Chinese colleagues in the company said there was no human rights abuses in China. China is doing great. You see, like, their Chinese colleagues in these companies spread lies to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they trust their colleagues. And that's how the brainwashed Chinese spread propaganda to Americans. So it's so important for us. Like, you know, keep in mind, like, every Chinese people in the U.S., if you can help them to know the truth, they will spread the truth, like what I'm doing now, right? And if you keep them brainwashed, they may spread the propaganda to others. So it's so important for each of us to do so. Like, whenever you see Chinese people, ask them about Tiananmen massacre, ask them about Falun Gong, ask them about the organ harvesting, ask about the Uyghurs, and this is so important, because when you see them, you tell them what's going on, they trust you, and you may be able to awake them.
Mm-hmm. Why is it Tiananmen Square? Why that one particular thing? Is because we've heard that from so many people who have come here from China, that was that one incident was such a big wake-up call for them. Why that one thing?
Because before the Tiananmen massacre, the Chinese society, it was the most liberal, most awakened moment in China. That's when, like, everyone asked for democracy, everyone asked for freedom, like, including all the Chinese journalists. Like, you know, it's like all over China, everyone asked for democracy. But then, like, you know, the bloodshed and everything, and that just, you know, everything stopped at that moment, and China went into a dark age, because that's when the Communist Party, you know, say everyone just try to make money. It's like, forget about everything in history. All you need to do is money, and that was when, like, you know, they started to regain the control towards media and brainwash Chinese people, the new generation of Chinese. Like, many of them were ignorant about the history. And that was also the time they take down all the religion, right? Like, they try to infiltrate into all these temples, and Buddhism temples, Taoism temples, and Christian churches. And, you know, they start to strengthen the brainwash of Communist Party's propaganda through these religion systems. But I think now it's a different phase from Tiananmen massacre. Because in China, there's now this big human rights movement, and that started from the Falun Gong movement in 2000 or so, because, you know, throughout the history of Communist Party, the party had no problem wiping out any ideology, because everyone remained silent to protect themselves when they see others people in trouble. But Falun Gong believed that they should speak out. So for 2 years, between 1999 and 2001, like, there are hundreds and thousands of protests in every city by Falun Gong asking for their rights to meditate. And that really shocked the Chinese society. And then the Falun Gong, they started to make flyers, print DVDs, and distribute it to their neighborhood. And in the United States, Falun Gong started three major companies to write free softwares to help Chinese people to bypass Great Firewall Internet. And nowadays, about 30% of Internet users regularly bypass Great Firewall to find out what's happening in the U.S. and what's happening in China. And China started to have human rights lawyers starting from 2005. And then, like, Chinese people started to sign petitions. The first thing we saw was, like, in 2009, people signed petitions to support the victims and left their fingerprints, like, that's Chinese traditional signature. And Chinese people start to file lawsuits against officials who like, you know, were involved in the human rights abuses. And they also started to quit the Communist Party. And that started in 2004. It started from volunteers in San Diego. They started a website. And Chinese people can bypass the Great Firewall and post their statements on this website. Say, I quit the Communist Party. I quit the Youth League of the Communist Party. That's for high school students. Or I quit the Young Pioneers of the Communist Party. That's for middle schoolers or elementary school kids. Then they get a digital certificate of quitting the party. And the U.S. Immigration Office recognizes this digital certificate as an official document of quitting the Communist Party.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, this website now has 383 million statements from China. Wow. That is just amazing.
Yeah.
And we see this in Soviet Union when they collapsed, right? That went on for decades. And we're seeing the same trend going on in China. So we in the United States, what we can do here is to support their movement. There's actually now a House resolution, HRS 500, condemning the 100 years of history of Communist Party in atrocities to Chinese people and support the movement of quitting the Communist Party. That's HRS 500. So it's a non-binding resolution in the Congress. You can also talk to your elected officials to support that. So these are all actions we can take. And these are also encouraging news from China that, mm-hmm. you know, we're not fighting alone. Chinese people are doing a great job.
We only have a couple of minutes left here, but I was curious, as a student, as a Chinese student in America, how difficult is it when you come over here, you get an education, and you find out that you have been brainwashed and you want to stay? How difficult is that process to remain here?
I think staying in the United States is not so hard as long as you can find a job. Like, right, you need to be able to find a job. And, mm-hmm. and most of the Chinese coming to the U.S., they're from elite families, or they have certain kind of skill, they have certain talent. I wouldn't say it's very hard, but I think the most difficult part is coming out of the comfort zone to away from the propaganda, because Chinese people, you know, we used to just class together with other Chinese, Chinese from Communist Party, because, you know, we had the same common language, and it's very easy for a Chinese from Communist China to stay in his or her own comfort zone without knowing any Westerners, just stay with the rest of the Chinese people. They stay on WeChat. They stay to continue to read propaganda from China. And that is why we need to break the comfort zone,
right,
to save them.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you look at here in this country, they're trying to rewrite our history, so they can get to a point where they can use that kind of propaganda, but they have to strip away all the statues. And that's something mm-hmm. that's in that list of tenets. If you want to bring in communism, you've got to get rid of the history. You have to get
exactly.
rid of religion. You have to get rid of art. And, statues of people and events, got to get rid of that. You can't lie about it if it's right out there in front of your courthouse.
Exactly. But, you know, we should make use of our freedom of expression to continue to speak out, every individual us, because it's our responsibility to protect our history. And the only way to defeat communism is a true traditional culture, true traditional American culture and a traditional Chinese value, because these are the moralities that preserved our society for thousands of years.
I think that is spectacular advice. Thank you so much for coming on with us today, and I look forward to meeting you finally in October. And for people who missed that, please go to wethepeopleradio.us. All the info about the show and Dr. Chen's visit to Reading is there. Thank you very much, Dr. Chen.
Thank you, Erin and Bill.
Thank you.
You know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.